John 15:13, these are the words of Christ: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, let's read it together out loud with me. Ready? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us that no greater love. Thank you for illustrating that for us on Calvary's cross. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would leave here with a little better understanding, Lord, of just how much you loved us and still love us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Gentlemen, you've got tomorrow to shop. If you're a procrastinator, you've dragged your feet. No, preacher, that's not the case. I'm just putting a lot of thought into it. Well, you better start thinking quick. One more shopping day till Valentine's Day. And so get out there, get busy, and make sure you take care of your sweetheart come Tuesday. We are not having a Valentine's banquet this year, and it seems a little odd, to be honest with you. Of course, the years we have had it, it seemed a little odd too. But I was thinking this week of the first Valentine's banquet that me and Cheryl organized and put on for the Central Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana. I thought about doing this morning, but I learned my lesson as a young preacher. We decided to allow some of the couples to share their love story, how they were engaged or how they met, their first date, all of that. And we called upon this couple, and they were probably in their 50s. And I said to the man, why don't you stand up and tell about the day that you asked your wife to marry you. And so he stood up and shifted around and shifted around and shifted around. And finally he said, well, I didn't ask her, she asked me. And boy, there was about 10 seconds of dead silence and then laughter bursting out. And I thought to myself, why do I get myself in these situations? But when you're that far in, you got to go all the way, right? And so I said, she asked you. And finally she spoke up, yep, he kept dragging his feet and dragging his feet and dragging his feet. So one day I just looked at him and said, listen, are we going to get married or what? And I said, what did you say? And he said, yes. And that was their romantic proposal story. So anyway, you just don't know. History is filled with really great love stories. Really is. Some are works of fiction, like Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Others are embellished fables, children's tales. You know, a midnight princess. A princess who leaves a glass slipper, a beauty forever asleep who is awakened by the kiss of a prince, a beauty whose love lifts the curse of a beast, a princess who kisses a frog, and the frog becomes a prince. Girls, listen to me. I wouldn't fall for that, all right? Now, still others are love stories that are factual, documented true events of real people who experience extraordinary love, and we can flip through the pages of history and find them. You know, for you girls that like love stories, you know the Bible is filled with some of the most beautiful love stories that you'll ever read. You may not think of this couple off the top of your head, but I want to give to you that maybe the greatest act of love and at the same time maybe the most horrific action that was ever committed was committed by Adam. The Bible says that he was not deceived like Eve was. He went in full eyes wide open. You say, preacher, if he wasn't deceived into sinning, then why did he do it? I believe that his love for Eve was so strong and so great. By the way, ladies, you ought to listen to this. That even though his wife had chosen to do wrong, the idea of being separated from her was more than he could take. And he also took of the apple and plunged all of mankind into sin, the love story of Adam and Eve. The love story of Isaac and Rebekah, and you think about that, if you have read that recently, and if you start reading through the Bible in Genesis, all of the beginning of the year, start reading through the Bible, starting in Genesis chapter 1, all of the Genesis love stories will be fresh in your mind. But here's Isaac, and it came time for him to take a bride, and you remember how his father sent his servant because he did not want him to take a wife of the heathen women. And he went back and found Rebecca, and the beautiful story of how Rebecca was willing to leave everything that she had for a man she had never met, but for a man who loved her all of his life. I think about the story of Jacob and Rachel. I think maybe could be the most special and greatest human love story in the Bible. You think of Jacob, who met Rachel and fell madly in love and made a deal with her father that he would work for 7 years. 7 years of servitude for the privilege of marrying Rachel. Boy, I wish I'd have thought about that for my son-in-laws. I'm telling you what, they'd both still be working for me if I thought of that. But and then to be deceived and given the sister instead, and yet Jacob was content to work 14 years in servitude for the privilege of marrying Rachel. If you go to the little four-chapter book of Ruth, you'll read a beautiful story of a love story between Ruth and a man by the name of Boaz. Not all of the stories of love, and I don't want you to read wrong into this because there is no wrong to read into it, but not all the stories of great love are stories between a woman and a man. The Bible talks about David and Jonathan, and after David received the news that Jonathan, who was a friend unlike any other friend, received the news of his death, he wrote in 2 Samuel 1:25, "How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished?" And so we see those, the great love friendship between David and Jonathan. If you have a chance to read sometime the book of the Song of Solomon, it's primarily a book that's primarily an expression of true marital love. Of course, the secondary and I think larger interpretation of the book is the picture of Christ the Son and his heavenly bride, the church, and how he wooed us and brought us into himself. You want to read a story of love that's a God-type love? Then go to the book of Hosea and read about Hosea and Gomer, a great picture of God's love for an unfaithful nation, unfaithful Israel, but again and again, he pursued them and loved them. Another love story that you might not think of, we find in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary, and of course, Mary being the mother of Christ. And you really put yourself in Joseph's shoes and you think about what a love he had for Mary. This is the story of a man's great faith and commitment to his betrothed wife, when in the face of rumor and scandal, he trusted God and cherished his young bride-to-be, the great story of Joseph and Mary. And then even though there's not a lot of detail, I've got to throw in this couple of the New Testament, a couple by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. And I know we're not giving a lot of detail to their life, but let me just say this. This was a godly, early church missionary couple whose love for each other and love for God was so great that in the service of their God, not once in the New Testament is one named without the mentioning of the other. They just bonded together and served the Lord together through their entire life. But this morning I'm not going to preach on Adam and Eve or Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, Ruth and Boaz, David and Jonathan. I'm not going to have you turn to the Song of Solomon. We're not going to go to the book of Hosea. We're not going to talk about Joseph and Mary, Priscilla or Aquila. But because of all the great love stories in the Bible, and all the great love stories of history, and all of the great love story of fictional literature, there's no story, true or fiction, that touches the story of the love of God for fallen man. We read this beautiful verse in John chapter 15. And verse number 13, "Greater love hath no man than this." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now I wanted to come and tell you something today, and I want you to just hear me. Please hear me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care where you find yourself in life. I promise you, this is true. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You say, "I'm just a little boy." Well, Jesus loves you. I'm just a little girl. I'm a visitor. Nobody even knows my name here. I can tell you this, Jesus loves you. I'm a teenager and I'm going through a time in my life where, be honest with you, preacher, if I had time to sit down and talk about the circumstances of my life, I wonder if anybody loves me. Well, I can tell you this, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I want to give you some facts today. I want to give you some statements today. I want to give you a handful of things that you ought to consider about the great love of God. Wife, Jesus loves you. Husbands, Jesus loves you. Senior saints, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Say, preacher, how do I know that? Let me give you some things to consider. The greatest love story in the Bible. Number one, he came the greatest distance to come to those he loved. Now, you may be able to come to me and tell some human story where a man maybe have walked on the path and walked and traversed great distance to get to somebody he loved, but I guarantee you, you'll never find a human being that left the portals of heaven and came all the way down to earth. You may be able to bring stories about people that got in a ship and sailed to across a raging sea to a different continent, a great distance and great danger to come to one that he loved. But you know what? Jesus Christ left heaven to come down and prove to you how much he loved you. Not only did he come the greatest distance, he left the greatest treasures to come to those he loved. The Bible says he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky and the sparrows can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. He left the greatest treasures to come here. He left a place where streets were paved of gold to come and walk the dusty streets of the nation of Israel. He came where he was adored and worshipped. He came here to be rejected and reviled against. He left the splendor of heaven. So he came the greatest distance to come to those he loved. He left the greatest treasure to come to those he loved. Let me give you this. He made the greatest changes to be with those he loved. He made the greatest changes. Now, we've got young ladies in this room that has left their home, left the state that they were raised and born in, and because of a love of a man, came and followed a man to this place, to the Mecca of civilization, Jacksonville, Indiana, the tourist hotspot of a nation. And you came here because you love the man God gave you. Let me say this. Please listen to me. Nobody's made greatest, more drastic changes in order to be with those that he loved than Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Think about that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Now, how in the world do you take an omnipresent God and put him inside of a human body? How in the world do you take an all-knowing, almighty God and ask him to limit for 33 years his powers and hold him within the boundaries of that which is available to mortal man? But Jesus Christ was willing to do that. You know why he did that, young people? Because he loves you. He endured the greatest rejection from those he came to love. And you know, history is filled with stories of love spurned. But let me tell you something. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He loved those who refused to love him back. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And I don't know whose story in here is the saddest story of love spurned. But I tell you this, you can't hold a candle to the story of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he faced. I mean, he came unto his own. And yet it was his own, the Jewish people, that gathered there in front of Pilate's court and screamed out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." He came unto his own. And yet when Pilate brought the most notorious villain, the most notorious criminal alive, I mean, literally the Charlie Manson of his day, and stood him in front of a nation knowing that the minute that this man was turned into society, he would probably murder. He would probably do unspeakable horrors in their midst. And yet they chose him, Barabbas, over the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Which will you have?" They said, "Barabbas." They said, "What?" He said, "What shall I do with Christ?" They said, "Crucify him." Why? What evil hath he done? Crucify! And they shouted him down till finally Pilate called for a basin of water, washed his hands, and turned the king of the Jews over to his own people. And you know what they did? They prodded him and pushed him up Golgotha's hill and nailed him to a cross. He was rejected of men, yet he loved them. He loved them. He made the greatest changes to be with those he loved. He endured the greatest rejection from those he came to love. He became his greatest loathing to redeem those he loved. Think about that. There's nothing in the world that Jesus dreaded except to become sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Three times in Golgotha's garden, he falls upon his face, sweating as it were great drops of blood. The Bible says he prays this prayer, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." What was that cup? He did not want, if it were possible, if there was any other way, he did not want to become the very thing that he had spent eternity hating. You see, folks, listen to me. God loves you, but God hates your sin. God loves Jerry Ross, but he hates my sin. How can a God love, hate so completely, and yet love a sinner so completely? I don't know the answer to that. A lot of times we human beings get the two mixed up a little bit. You want to say amen right there? And in an attempt to hate sin, sometimes we hate sinners. In an attempt to love the sinner, sometimes we fail and start loving the sin. But you know, God's is able to separate those things perfectly, and he loves you. He loves you. But preacher, I've done this. He loves you. But preacher, I've sinned this sin. I know, and he hates that sin, but he loves you. But preacher, my mouth has said these words. I know, and God hated those words, but he loves you. But preacher, I've crossed these boundaries. I know, and God hated the fact you did that, but he loves you. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He said, "I will become sin for them to redeem them. I love them so much. I want them, Father." That brings us to the next point. He gave his very life to save those he loved, which takes us back to our text verse here. Think about this. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Did Jesus do that? Romans 5:6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we got a beautiful explanation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He gave his very life to save those he loved. Now look right up here. I want to see if I can get that in your heart. Listen, Jesus just didn't die for all of the world. He died for you. He didn't just die for all the sins of the world. He died for your sins. He didn't just become sin for us. He became sin for me. My sins were on him that day. He didn't say, "I love you. Sure am sorry you chose to sin. Sure am sorry you're going to have to go to hell." He said, "I love you so much, I'll come down and die on an old rugged cross." He gave his very life to save those that he loved. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Say, preacher, you know what? I'm glad that you're letting folks know that might be here that's not saved. You know what I think? I think those of us that are saved need to be reminded just how much Jesus loves us. He loves us. How much did he love us? He defeated the greatest enemies who threatened the ones that he loved. I love 1 Corinthians 15. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet." You know what? Jesus Christ decided to take on the greatest enemies that we have. What is the greatest enemies that we have? Our own sin. He said, "I'll pay for that sin." How about the old devil? He said, "I'll take on the old devil." Yeah. How about the wages of sin is death? What about that thing called death? He said, "You know what? I'll die on a cross. I'll lay in the tomb for 3 days. I'll take on death. I'll beat it for him. I'll beat it for him." You know why he did that? Because he loves us. He provided the greatest gift to those that he loved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I went was driving back from northern Indiana Saturday morning early, Stopped in Plainfield, did a little shopping, got a gift for my Valentine. She'll get it tomorrow, Lord willing. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what you bought, and I don't know what you'll get. But I promise you this, no greater gift has ever been purchased, ever been bought. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God loves us. Jesus loves us. He wrote the greatest love letter ever written to those he loved. I wish I could have got Brother Derek to read that poem. Maybe after about half of it, I would have had to interrupt him and decided it wasn't such a good idea that he wrote that poem. He wrote the greatest love letter ever written to those he loved. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know what? This book right here, young people, I want you to understand this is a love letter from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go a day without reading it. Don't go a day without reading it. I'm telling you what, when I was courting my wife, and I would go to my mailbox at Bible College and I would open it and there would be a letter and I would see my name written with her handwriting on the envelope. I'd always do one thing first. This is what I always did. What'd you do, man? You smell the letter. And the perfume smell. And the Mamma Mia. You know. And I couldn't wait to get back in my room and open that letter. And loved it to this day. I've got a little container in my closet that has every love letter, every love note that my wife has wrote to me during our courtship time. She's got a box containing the three letters that I wrote to her. But they were fantastic letters. Amazing letters. Great love letters. Say, preacher, you're always on us about reading the Bible. Let me tell you something. You fall in love with the one who loves you, and you won't have to be prompted to read the Bible. No one ever said to me, now, you go to your room, and you make sure you read that letter from your sweetie pie. No one ever said that to me. You know what? I loved her, and I knew she loved me, and I couldn't wait to read what she wrote. And you know what? God loves me, and I love God. I can't wait every morning just to open the book and find out what he has to say to me. Not only that, let me give you the last thought. He promised to return one day and call up to him those he loved. Isn't that awesome? He said to the disciples before he left, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What is our Missions Emphasis Month all about? Preacher, what is the defining goal in your mind of every missionary outreach, every missionary agent? What is the message that we're trying to get to our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world? Here it is. Here's the message that we're trying to get to a world. Here it is. Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. And that person is Jesus. If I could get a message to our church planters this morning and our missionaries, and by the way, many of them, we'll listen to this message. They go online. They need to hear preaching from the States. They need to hear preaching from their supporting churches. And so many of them will log on and listen to this. So if I'm speaking now to our church planters or a lonely missionary's wife or a discouraged missionary or an evangelist that has a lot of miles and preachers and all of those that we support, if I could encourage you in one area, I would encourage you, don't fail to deliver each and every day to somebody that God sent you to reach this thought. Tell them Jesus loves you. Tell them Jesus loves you. That's what I want them to do. Pastor Lowen and Rebecca, tell the people of Frenchtown, Montana, somebody loves them, and his name is Jesus. Pastor Ed Barclay and Pastor David Townsley, let the people of Loveland, Colorado, and Terryville, Connecticut, let them know that Jesus loves them. Brother Jeff Bowersouth, his sweet wife Roxanne, let the people in California's Bay Area know that Jesus loves them. Brother Hamlin, don't get discouraged. Just tell one more person how much Jesus loves them. Brother Schindler, Brother Tom Williams, our evangelist. Brother Williams, as you get on the radio and as you preach and have the ear of the world, tell them often how much Jesus loves them. Daniel Bowles and his precious wife Heidi. By the way, we got to watch Heidi grow up. What a precious girl. I'm so thrilled to get to know Brother Daniel. Got news that they're going to be leaving in March for Thailand. As you go, Brother Daniel, Sister Heidi, tell them there, when you get there, tell them Jesus loves them. Sister Michelle Bass, working with First Bible, and by the way, working with fervor to get the Bible translated into over 3,000 languages of those without a copy of God's Word. Listen, Sister Michelle, keep interpreting, keep translating the Bible. They need to get the love letter. From the love letter, they're going to learn how much Jesus loves them. Pastor Dutry and Bearing Precious Seed personnel down in Milford, Ohio, please keep printing those John and Romans and keep printing the New Testament, keep printing the Bible. You know what? Because as we get those millions and millions of copies, and bought, by the way, I'm so glad our church has a part of that ministry. I'm so glad that now this year over 13 million copies, portions of the scriptures that went out across the world from Bearing Precious. I'm glad we have just a little part of that. Listen, they need the story of how much Jesus loves them. Brother and Sister Bragg, BIMI missionary directors to the dark continent of Africa, a light needs to shine there. A light needs to shine to let them know how much Jesus loves them. I wish I could have a minute to call the Bisses who are laboring. You think about this, folks, in Belfast, Ireland. Belfast. Let those religious but lost dear Irish people know how much Jesus loves them. Listen, Brother McDonald at the Calvary Boys Home and Brother Williams at Hesema House, when you get those broken and confused young people that can't find a home anywhere, so they come to you for a home. Listen, spend a lot of time, please. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. The Lemas and the Carneys, please tell the dear Mexican people how much Jesus loves them. Brother Dave Carney, now in Singapore, carrying a great burden for the 1040 window. Brother Dave, keep meeting with those Hindus and keep meeting with those Muslims and keep telling them how much Jesus loves them. And we have, of course, our neighbors up north, Canada. How did we fail so miserably not reaching our next door neighbor for the world? Brother Cottle and Brother Jackson, Sister Becky and the boys, you know what? We're sending you there for a reason. Here's why we're sending you there. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Brother Gibbs and Brother Eric Miller, please help us. Help keep us free so we can keep telling America how much Jesus loves them. I think of the Koblenz, those dear Amish people that were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, working up in the northeastern part of Ohio, and they go to those very religious but unsaved people. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. I think of the great support team that we have in Brazil, South America. But folks, please keep in mind how large Brazil is. But I want to say to the Johnson brothers, Ed and Brian, and their dear families, and the Silvariuses, I want to encourage them, please keep preaching the gospel. Preach and tell them how much Jesus loves them. I can't pray for our Australian missionaries without tears coming to my eyes. Mine eye hath affected my heart. You talk about a mission field. Thank God for Brother Andrew Steers, who fights with a disease that's crippling his body, a disease that's caused him in the last 12 months to undergo some horrific surgeries. But you know what? Read every letter. And you know what he'll tell you? How he's out on the street, sometimes being pushed in a wheelchair. He's out there with one message to tell the people of Australia how much Jesus loves them. Well, I want to give to missions. I want to sacrifice to missions. We've got to get this story out. So let's not fail in Australia. I think of the DeLongs, precious people. What a precious time we spent with them. And Brother and Mrs. Hong, who's been there so faithful through the years. The need in Haiti is great. And remember Brother Rodney Fitzsimmons while he was here. Remember his wife's testimony that she stood up and gave, and he interpreted it for us, how when she went to the country of Haiti, she did not want to stay there. She wanted to raise her family in America, and she fought it for months. And finally, a dear Haitian woman came to the house and said, I want to watch your children for a while. Well, why do you want to watch them for a while? Because you need to go back in the bedroom and you need to pray. You see, we know that your heart's not here. We know that you don't really love Haiti. We know that you don't really want to be here. Well, I've never said anything. You don't have to tell women that. They can sense that. They know it. Now, I'm going to watch your children. You go to the bedroom, and you get on your face, and you pray. And I think about Sister Kathy decades ago, Fitzsimmons, on her face, saying, God, break my heart for the Haitian people. Listen, folks, we don't need missionaries coming home. We need missionaries staying put. That's what we need in America. We don't need them going there for 2 or 3 years and then hightailing it for home because they don't have some of the comforts they used to have. Or, heaven forbid, one of the kids got a little sick. Good night, they're going to get sick here too. Yep. We need missionaries that'll go and stay. We need some Kathy Fitzsimmons that'll get on their face and weep it out and pray it out and die to self and say, this is my home. I thank God for all of the Haitian people that have been saved because of that dear lady's decision. Because I promise you, if she did not put her heart there, Brother Rodney would not still be there. I promise you that that's true. I pray for those of our missionaries that are laboring to the Jews first, God's chosen people. Hey, Brother Wilson, let the Jewish people know Jesus loves them. Yeah, but they rejected him. Yeah, I know, but he still loves them. Brother Lawrence, let the Jewish people know. Pastor Alex, let the Jewish people know. The Gwynns, let them know. Let the Jewish people know how much Jesus loves them. I'm so glad every single day of the week, almost without fail, there is a sweet couple by the name of Paul and Mickey Henry. You talk about the real deal. I thank God almost without fail every day in the prisons of Texas, a man of God heads to the men's section and a woman of God heads to the ladies' section, and they go cell by cell by cell with one great message, and that this is it: Jesus loves you. We're going to have Brother John Himes, veteran missionary to Japan, as our guest in the month of March, I want to say. And I want to encourage him while I'm here. I'm going to thank him. I want to shake his hand. I feel like we're amongst a missionary royalty every time I get around Brother Himes, who has labored for all of these now probably close to 40 years in Japan. And you know what he spent his time doing there? Saying, Jesus loves you. And as he's been there all that time, here we've got a young couple, Paul and Sarah Johnson, just in a couple months, getting ready to leave for Japan. What are they going there for? To tell the Japanese people how much Jesus loves them? You read the, by the way, read the letters of the Lamans. Please read the letters. I'll be honest with you, if it were not for a divine protection upon their life, it is absolutely amazing what God is allowing them to do in a communist country in China, where it is against the law to preach the gospel, and yet they openly hold assemblies. They openly reach people for Jesus Christ. They've done it for year after year. They've raised an entire family that's busy doing it. By the way, folks, let's pray for them. Let's thank God for them. And I think about the Leonards down in Belize and their faithfulness to preach the gospel. I prayed this morning for Brother Andy Magnarelli, laboring this morning he'll be laboring in a remote village in Arizona. He's been able to secure an inroad to a tribe of Indians, the Hopi Indians, that no other missionary has been able to penetrate, and yet because of the invitation of one Christian Hopi Indian, he's allowed to live in his house and for these many months share the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's he doing? He's telling those Indians Jesus loves them. Read the prayer letters of Terry Morris. And by the way, it's just amazing. You feel like you're reading letters from 100 or 150 years ago as they literally traversed between the French Polynesian islands. We'd run a bus ministry. They'd run a boat ministry. And they go to these islands where the gospel hasn't been preached. And because they are fluent in French, they can show up and teach the word of God and share the gospel. Thank God for them. Tell them, Brother Terry, how much Jesus loved them. Mueller's in Mongolia, tell them how much Jesus loves them. The Owens brothers, David in Guyana and Jonathan in Bulgaria. And by the way, Jonathan touched my heart so much. Remember when they were here with us just about a year ago? And as I got to talk to him one day, his wife was in tears, and I was afraid there was something a little bit wrong, and he was over there talking with her a bit, and I came back, and I said, is there a problem? Is there something we can help with? And he said to me, preacher, this is exactly what he said, preacher, some things are going on in the lives of our people in Bulgaria. My wife is just homesick. My wife is just homesick. Amen. Amen. See, I thought missionaries got homesick when they went to the field. Homesick for America. Here's a dear missionary wife, when she takes a furlough and comes back to America, gets homesick for her adopted nation and her adopted people. Thank God for Jonathan Owens and his dear wife. WGAB, who we support, listen, get on the airwaves, tell them that Jesus loves them. WMTA that we support, tell them Jesus loves them. WYTJ that we support, tell them how much Jesus loves them. The Russell family, literally, you talk about danger, folks. Ivory Coast, Senegal have had to flee for their life several times, and every time there's a break in the action, they shoot right back in there and preach the gospel. Why? Because they got a group of people that needs to hear how much Jesus loves them. I think of Colonel Ryberg and his great burden for the military and the support that the Baptist Worldwide Missions is making into the military bases and the packages that are going to our men on the front line, and we get to have a little part of that. Brother Reimer, just tell them, tell those soldiers, tell those brave men and women how much Jesus loves them. So the strike leathers are going into the jails in the Philippines. Can you get that? You get that? You think the jails in America are bad? Go down to the Philippines and go into the jail cells. And you know what they're doing? Going cell to cell, telling them how much Jesus loves them. And the Kimmels are doing it in Jamaica. And the Yetzers are doing it in Italy. And Brother Younger's doing it to anybody who'll listen to him. He's got a broken heart for the troubled youth in the juvenile detention centers, and he goes in there with power and anointing and lets those boys know that Jesus loves them. The Todds are getting ready to get on a plane and head to Costa Rica soon, and they're going to go there for one reason. Tell how much Jesus loves. Wait a minute. What about Brother Tommy Tillman? How many times in my mind have I pictured Brother Tillman and the stories he's told? He has spent a lifetime. Read his letter. The one we just got. Folks, read the letters. We don't post them up there for decoration. You know what? If you read them, God will start doing something in your heart. I read this last letter, and he had a cancerous tumor cut off of the surface of his head, and he had the surgery, and the doctor said when he got done, his first question after he got done was, how long before I can go back to Thailand? How long can I go back to those lepers that need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the doctor said, you've got so many stents in your heart. And you see, Brother Tillman just basically comes off the field of about 3 months a year, basically to have another stent put in his heart and another piece of cancer cut out so he can go back to Thailand to those people he loved. He sits in those leper colonies. He hugs those lepers. He sleeps in their homes. He talks with them. He eats the food at the same table with them. Why does he do all that? For one reason. So he can look a leper, a Thailand leper, in the eye and tell them, you think I love you? You don't know what love is. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you how much he loves you. A Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's just not our missionaries that have a responsibility. Sunday school teachers, the theme of your class ought to be Jesus loves you. Children workers, the theme of your class ought to be Jesus loves you. Masters club workers, the theme of your club ought to be Jesus loves you. Bus captains, I've sent you to the different areas. We've got 5 sections we're carrying. You know why you're there, bus captain? To go to every house you can, to find every young person you can, and get them on the bus so that they can learn how much Jesus loves them. 7 nursing homes, those of you that minister in these nursing homes, what do I preach? What do I preach? Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Church members, we all have a responsibility. We'll go into our workplaces, and you know what? You have to look at it as a mission field. It's time to tell that coworker tomorrow how much Jesus loves them. It's time to walk across the street in that neighborhood that you live and tell them how much Jesus loves you. Remember that family member that here a while back God broke your heart about and you promised to get the gospel to, but you haven't done it yet? It's time to pick up the phone and tell them how much Jesus loves them. We all have a responsibility. Preacher, why do you want to buy a printing press of all things so we can print out one message? Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Pray for our Bible college students. I'm glad some of our young men are coming back. They need to stay by the stuff. Parents, church members, don't baby them when they get homesick. Are you looking up here? Are you listening? Don't baby them when they get homesick. They need to stick it out. They need to tough it out. Yeah, but preacher, they're doing without. They need to learn to do without. They need to learn that, you know what, to get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not always easy, but we are called to do it, and we must do it. Christian school kids, there's a reason we've got you meeting over here Tuesday through Friday, and that's to teach you above everything else how to tell the message of how much Jesus loves the world. Hey, let's sing songs about it here in the congregation. Let's have the specials ring out how much Jesus loves the people. Piano player, play in such a way so people are convinced that Jesus loves them. Choir, sing and smile in such a way so that people can see the love of Jesus Christ. I think for the vast majority of our teenagers, this is true, but I want our teenagers to walk out into this community, and I want people to stop and stare, and I want them to say, wow, I didn't even think they made young people like that anymore. And if somebody dare come to them and ask them, what's the difference in your life? Why are you so different from anything else and anybody else we're seeing out in this world? I hope that they'll look at them with the sweetness of God and an anointing of God on their hearts and look them in the eye and say, I'm this way because Jesus loves me. because Jesus loves me. Nursery workers, you know what? Sing to those little babies as you're rocking them. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Brother Clanny over in Vicksburg, over in Bloomfield at Victory Baptist Church. Well, what's he doing over there? I hope he's telling everybody how much Jesus loves him. Why do we have Joseph's Storehouse? Just so we can go to a house and supply some food? Well, there's certainly people that need that help, but you know what? We're not just there to give them food. We're there to give them a message. Jesus loves them. Preacher, why do you go to the hospitals? Why do you go to the funeral homes? Why do we have the showers? We got it for one main reason, to let people know how much Jesus loved them. Why a web page? Why a radio broadcast? Why the Operation Thank Event Ministry? To get another way to tell people how much Jesus loved. Look right up here. Those of you that clean the church, you ought to clean the church in such a way when people walk in, they think, wow, this is a place that loves Jesus, and this is a place where Jesus loves them. When we work on a bus, when we mow the churchyard, when we maintain the buildings, when we paint a room, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Deacons, as you visit the widows, don't forget to tell them before you leave there how much Jesus loves them. I've spent myself. I do not know what love story you could tell or what love story you have yet to find, but I can tell you this. They'll never be replicated in the human realm. A demonstration of pure love, more glorious, more generous, more giving, more genuine than the love expressed in a simple verse found in the Gospel of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater love. No greater love. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be busy. We got a message to tell. We've got a story to tell to the nations. The world needs to hear how much Jesus loved them. The great sacrifice that he paid. His death on Calvary's cross. The distance that he came. All that he left. All that he became. His resurrection. His promise to return again. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get out into this community. Into the homes of people that are confused and broken and angry and bitter. Sin has wreaked a havoc in their life. And many of them got to the point where they have become convinced that nobody cares. Lord, please, may a soul winner from Blessed Hope Baptist Church sometime in the near future knock on their door, look them in the eye and tell them Jesus loves you. Lord, I have no doubt there's probably a handful of Christians here this morning that just needed to be reminded how much Jesus loved them. Their heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let me just talk to you that may be here without Christ as your Savior. Jesus did everything that I described this morning for you. Preacher, I wasn't even alive when Jesus died on the cross. No, but in his great foreknowledge, he understood there would be a day that me and you would be here. He knew of the sins we would commit, and he took care of those sins in advance. All of our sins were heaped upon him at Calvary. He died for this preacher. Oh, happy day, the day I understood the gospel. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit when God came and began to convict me of my need to be saved. Thank God for an old-fashioned preacher that told me how much Jesus loved me and what he did for me. The best day of my life was the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, I would pray that you'd be saved. We have 2 men at the front here. And as we begin in just a moment to give the invitation, we would encourage you, step from your seat in just a minute. Step from your seat, come down an aisle. These men will be waiting for you. They'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I'm not 100% sure. Let us take the Bible and tell you the greatest love story this morning that's ever been written. Let us tell you about what Jesus did for you. Christian, I don't know where you're at in your life, and I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know maybe what kind of pit of discouragement the devil may have you in today, but I'm going to tell you this and remind you of this. Jesus loves you. He loves you. Nothing can ever change that. Nothing can ever stop that. Jesus loves you.